What's up? I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota.
And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast,
where we interview successful businessmen and women to let you in on why success doesn't have a single formula to follow.
We also have a little bourbon tasting along the way, because why not?
So guys, please enjoy this episode and let us know your thoughts at Bourbon and Business Podcast on Instagram.
Coming to you from the Bourbon and Business Studio here in the Capitol Club in downtown Jackson, Mississippi. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Dakota. And this is the Bourbon and Business Podcast.
You stole my line, Dakota.
I got you.
Well, hey, tell us a little bit about the venue that we're at today.
We are at the Capitol Club in Jackson, the greatest spot in Jackson. This view is unbeatable. It's fantastic. You're above the tree lines. You're above the building lines, too. So you've got a fantastic view of the Jackson horizon. It's an overcast day here, a little misty, a little rainy, but it's still beautiful. They have membership pricing here that is very reasonable. They have an online presence, which is quickly growing. They have us in here, which is also fantastic. What else they have here, Tyler? Lunch every day, events.
I mean, just great business networking opportunities. You have events on the weekend. I think they, for Halloween, they just had like a Monster Ball.
That's right. So yeah.
Ton of cool stuff they're doing here. If you're not a member, you're missing out. If you're in Jackson or the surrounding areas, you know, you definitely need to look and get a membership. So, and then I think you mentioned this, they have lunch every day. So,
yes. Delicious lunch.
Yeah. So, well, you want to introduce our guest to us this morning?
Yes. Today we have special guests with us, Tyler White, founder of T White's. Tyler, it's a pleasure to have you today.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
Glad to have you, Tyler. Hopefully, it's going to be weird talking to someone with the same name.
Hey, Tyler. Yeah. Oh, man, they both look. You guys should have seen it.
It's going to confuse all our guests. So. Well, you also want to give us our bourbon for the day?
Yes. This bourbon was kindly brought to us by Cheers Vineyard. Shout out to Cheers. Shout out to John Thomas at Cheers. He picked this one for us. It's Crittenden's. Crittenden's. I think I pronounced that correctly. It's like a $40 to $50 bottle of bourbon. They're out of Kiln, Mississippi, which is a small town south of Hattiesburg. John Thomas said, if you're driving by and you blink, you'll miss the entire distillery. It is a hole in the wall. But they're making some dang good bourbon out of it, apparently. So we got a cask strength, which is above 100 proof here. They don't water it down at all. They just leave the proof at whatever it comes out of the barrel at.
Well, off the cuff opinion on this one. It's really, really good. I did not realize it was distilled here in Mississippi. So. Yeah,
it's also a rye-based.
Nice. I'm about to give it a 9.2.
9.2. That's fantastic.
Really good bourbon.
Good deal. Homegrown, baby.
Cheers, and John Thomas, thank you for the bottle of bourbon. And if you are in the Jackson metro area, it is worth the drive over to Cheers and Gluckstadt to go get you some bourbon.
Or it really does feel like the staff there is just great.
Yeah, they're phenomenal.
It's a clean environment. Everything is bright and fresh and new. It really feels good when you walk in. You feel important.
Yeah. Well, Tyler, we always like to start this off. Just give us your background, you know, where you're from, where you grew up, and then how you got into the business that you're in today. And I know you got several different things you want to talk about, but give us a rundown on all that.
Yeah. So I live in Flora, Mississippi, graduated high school from Tri-County Academy, went and played community college baseball at Southwest Mississippi Community College, where I became the student body president, then went on to Ole Miss, graduated from Ole Miss in the midst of COVID, which was really fun and exciting to be in Oxford in the middle of COVID, not. So I decided I needed 3 more years in Oxford. So I decided to go to law school. And now I'm the Student Bar Association president there at Ole Miss. And yeah, I'm also the founder of T White's, which has kind of 2 branches to it. One of the main things we do is custom apparel, which is screen printing, embroidery, and promotional items for businesses kind of here locally and then also kind of around the globe. And then we also recently just launched our collegiate line because we're now Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Southern Miss collegiate licensed, which was super hard to get. So excited to have those licenses. But yeah, I'm 25 years old, so I'm a young guy, but I'm kind of just an entrepreneur at heart and really just love business, love entrepreneurship, and that sort of thing.
So how'd you land on the t-shirt company? How did that come about?
Okay, so going back to when I was in high school, I kind of blew up, if you will, kind of got a little famous on social media. There was this website called YouNow, YouNow.com. This was the first live streaming app ever. This was kind of before Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the other ones had live streaming. It was called YouNow. You'd go on there, you'd go live. People would just go watch you. And I was 16, 17 years old, and I kind of built up quite a following. And at some point became the most famous person on this website, had a combined like 250,000 followers on there. I had a guy reach out to me by the name of David Graham, asked me if I wanted to go on tour. I was like a junior in high school, and I was like, sure. So I started touring, and you got to remember, I'm from Flora, which is population like 1500. So going from Flora, I'd go to school Monday through Thursday, hop on a plane, and I was in a different city like every weekend on tour, which was super cool. Also super weird looking back on it now because I have no talent. Like it was literally like a meet and greet, and then it would be followed by a concert. We'd rent out a hotel room, and that was it essentially. So I was doing that for quite a while. And then, like
dude,
I said,
this story is already wild.
Like I did not expect it.
What is happening? Story?
I was like, you know, but no, go ahead.
Sorry, please continue.
I feel like I've lived five lives and one already sometimes. And I look back on these things and it's weird. So we're on tour and I was literally going across the country selling t-shirts with my name on it, which I'm a Christian. For me, it was a little weird. I also went and played, like I said, college baseball at Southwest Mississippi Community College. So senior year wraps up. We're still touring. And there was kind of this big transition period for me where it was like, hey, you're either going to have to pick baseball or you're going to have to pick social media, that sort of thing. And obviously, I picked the baseball route. But as a Christian, like I said, I knew God had given me this platform for a reason. So I prayed about it. And I was like, God, you've given me all these followers. I have this big platform. Like, show me what to do with it. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And then I started a Christian clothing line, which kind of kickstarted all of this, called Stay Anchored Apparel. And the whole goal of it was to inspire people to stay anchored in their faith. And I did that for quite a while.
It's a cool slogan.
And it did well and still did well. But what I had to figure out was, you know, the cheapest and best ways to make t-shirts, high quality, be able to make a profit. It became a business, right? So I bought a screen printing press. I convinced my youth minister to let me set it up in his shop, in his garage, sorry. So my youth minister set up my screen printing press in my youth minister's garage, which super thankful he allowed me to do that. But then quickly, you know, after I figured out how to print t-shirts, all of my friends started coming to me. They'd have a lawn care business. They'd have a startup. They'd have some sort of business. Hey, can you print t-shirts for me? And I quickly realized, you know, printing 100 shirts for one person was so much easier than printing one shirt for a consumer. The B2B thing was way easier than the B2C. So naturally, it kind of just took off. And I was like, hey, you know, I need a separate brand for this. And that's where T. White's comes from. My name's Tyler White. It's kind of a play on words for T-shirt. So T. White's was born, and it's kind of just grown from there. So I know that was a round-the-world answer. Yeah. That's sort of the origin story, if you will.
That's a super cool story. Yeah. And you're continuing it while you're in law school, right?
Yeah, that's been the hard part, is this entire business was founded while I was playing baseball, while I was the student body president at my community college, while I was at Ole Miss, while I'm in law school. Like, it's not been a traditional path whatsoever. So, like, tons of FaceTime calls. I had cameras in the shop. I'd FaceTime my screen printers. I'd FaceTime my sales team. Also, somewhere along that way, one of the things that's kind of helped my company the most is I was also working a Silicon Valley tech job. I worked at the first Bitcoin app in the app store called BRD. And I was their social media manager, and I would send newsletters and all this.
He's laughing right now because of the look I'm giving him. It just feels like he's making this up as he goes.
I told you, I swear, I feel like I've lived several lives. ADHD is a powerful thing, especially if you can focus it in, you know? I just like to stay busy. But yeah, I took a lot of the things I learned from the Silicon Valley tech startup that I worked at, all of the technology, all of the systems, all of the processes. I'm a total nerd when it comes to like process and like processes. And I just bottled all that stuff up and brought it to my small town local business. And that's a lot of the reason we've been able to scale how we have.
Well, I mean, that's a phenomenal story. Like, yeah. And you're 25 too, on top of that. So it's like you have packed a lot into 25 years. So.
Yes. Yes. So,
what social media app did you say? I'd never.
YouNow?
It was called YouNow. Yeah. That's right.
Is that still around?
You weren't on YouNow, Tyler?
I've never heard of it.
It's still around.
Missing out, man.
It's still around. It's dwindling. It's not near as popular, obviously, as it used to be.
Are you still on it?
No. I don't really do much social media anymore other than kind of promoting my brand and that sort of thing. Most of the time during the day, my head's down in a book for law school.
So you still have people reach out to you from the social media world, that like your followers and stuff?
Every once in a while. sometimes even in public, I'll still get noticed every once in a while, which is like super weird, especially with my friends. I'm like, what? Like, and again, it's even weird for me. Like looking back on this, I'm like, such a weird time in my life, you know, because it was like junior year, high, senior year of high school.
Right.
So it literally feels like an eternity ago.
Right.
Golly, that's crazy. So what is it? Are you going to continue the t-shirt business? Are you going to continue T. White's? Or, you know, when you graduate and get a job in law school and stuff, or out of law school, excuse me, what's the plan there?
Yeah. So my goal is to be a lawyer first and foremost. I've accepted a job at a really good law firm here in town.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really excited about that.
What kind of law are you going to be practicing?
Business law.
Business law. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Going the transactional route.
Yeah.
So I'm going to work at Butler Snow. I'm really excited about that.
Good firm. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm really excited. So going the business route, which is like where my heart and soul is. So I tried the litigation thing at first. Going into law school, I thought being a lawyer was like the guy on the billboard. And then I quickly realized there's a lot more to law than just that. And I also realized I'm way too business minded for the slow pace of litigation and just kind of the back and forth. And it's just so, it's frustrating. Just the process, at least for me. Transactional work is like so practical. Everyone's trying to reach a deal. Both sides, if you reach the deal, are going to be happy. You're working together.
You know, what's the goal for the t-shirt business at that same time?
Right. So the goal is just to continue to grow it. I kind of, day to day, I really don't do much. I'm just kind of out there spreading the word, kind of marketing it. I wear T. White stuff a lot. I've met a lot of people just through the places I've been. So kind of promoting the brand, that sort of thing. But the day to day, yeah, the long-term goal is to continue to grow it. I don't know what that'll look like. We really take it day by day. Right now, my fiance runs the sales team. We have partner shops we work with on the production side. We also have in-house printers. So it's sort of a lot, but the main thing is we're just flexible and we literally take it day by day because you just never know. I mean, one day a printer's leaving, the next day they stay. It's just everything moves so fast that that's what I tell my fiance all the time. Like, let's just take it day by day and see where it goes. And now let's just do the best job we can possibly do day by day and see where it goes.
You talked about some of the processes that you learned from the tech startup and things like that you've brought back to your business. What are some of those processes that you've incorporated into your daily routine?
Yeah. So one, living by a calendar, like as a young guy, I didn't realize the importance of that. Like literally my Google calendar, I live my life by it.
Right.
If something is on that calendar, I mean, I sound like a total dork and my friends make fun of me. Like, you want to go to dinner tonight? I'm like, sure. And I'm like calendaring it.
Right. I do the same thing.
But if it's not on my calendar, like it doesn't exist. I have tasks on my calendar. I put, you know, events, which I know is very simple. The main thing I took away from it was an app called Trello, which is a free organizational board. We use it to keep up every order in our production queue. So it'll, you know, it starts at like potential lead and then it goes to needs mockups and then it goes to like revisions needed in production, needs to be paid, delivered, you know, and literally we move the card all the way across. And every card has all the artwork, it has all the details for the order. Cause at any given time we'll have 150, 200 orders going. So having, I mean, there's so many details to keep up with. And then Trello, I mean, I'm the biggest fan in the world of Trello. And then even some of the like automation tools, I learned a lot about MailChimp, sending newsletters, you know, just kind of the basic stuff like that. But when I worked with them, I told them the whole time, like my goal was just to be a sponge and soak up as much knowledge from them as I possibly could. And, you know, I was 18 years old at this time and I'd be in tons of meetings. Like we'd be in meetings with execs from Twitter and all these big companies. And, you know, I'm the youngest guy in the room and it was definitely intimidating at times, but you learn quickly how to adapt and how to, you know, fit in.
No, and I would say, you know, especially our young listeners, or you don't even have to be a young listener, but just a listener in general to really step out and put yourself in those positions, you know, go to the meetings that you think maybe, I'm not qualified for and all that, because, you know, everybody that's in that meeting at one point was not qualified to be there.
They might still not feel that way too. I mean, there's plenty of executives out there. Everybody has, I think it's called like imposter syndrome now. Yeah. I mean, everybody suffers from that. They all feel like should not be in this room right now. I don't know enough to be in this room. I promise you every single person at that table either has felt that way or is feeling that way right now. So you're not alone, but success favors the bold. Like you were saying.
That's right. Yeah. And that's, you know, exactly what I was going to say. You know, the people that are successful are the ones that take the leap and said, hey, you know, even though it may feel weird, I'm going to take the step of faith and do, you know, what I believe I want to do. So, and that stops a lot of people from going after their dreams because they're not willing to take that step. So.
Yeah. What are some of the biggest challenges you've faced in your business and then balancing that business with your life? Because you have a fiance, you're graduating law school, you just accepted a job, you're running this company since you were 18 years old.
That's hanging out with the president.
Hanging out with the president and, you know, people everywhere, Twitter executives. I mean, that's a lot to process at a youngish age. So what does that look like?
Yeah. Well, one, I was thinking about it on the drive over here. Like, I was excited to come do this podcast because go so much. Literally last week, we were hosting a golf tournament at Lake Caroline. That's why I'm in town, which we've been planning for months and months and months. But I really don't take as much time as I need to step back and reflect. And I think sometimes as an entrepreneur, just as anyone who's busy, you know, you go so much. And then I was thinking about some of the stuff that I've done and even sitting on the podcast and sharing it. Like, I almost feel guilty, like I'm bragging or something. But it's like, it is kind of cool to think like, wow, I've done that. But I really don't reflect back as much as I probably need to. I'm always just like, what's next? What's next? What's the next milestone? But to answer your question about challenges, I think the biggest challenge I faced is my company's based here in the Jackson Metro, and I'm in Oxford. Again, with Zoom and with FaceTime and with everything else that exists, it's gotten easier. But there are, you know, there's communication's hard in general. But, you know, leading a sales team, leading production, trying to make sure quality assurance is there, those sort of things, it's difficult. And then also, I think the biggest challenge for me is just prioritizing my time and realizing like what really matters and what doesn't, because there's so many things that I have to get to in a day, and learning to delegate and empower others. Like, that has been a huge thing for me, because when I was at that Silicon Valley tech company and I was 18 years old, my boss empowered me. And I never forgot that. He continued to empower me. He allowed me to, you know, step up and do things that I shouldn't have done. I didn't have the experience to do, but he believed in me. And when I made a mistake, he taught me and I learned from him. But it was much faster to do that than it was for me to go to him every time, get a check off, get an approval, go back, then plan it out. He was like, no, just go. You're empowered. If you make a mistake, we'll fix it on the end. And that's been one of the biggest things that I've learned and done, is just empowering those around you to let them know like, hey, you have complete control and you can do this. You don't need my approval.
Well, Dakota, I think it's a good time for a bourbon break.
Yeah. Crittenden's. What did I say it was? I forgot the name of it. Crittenden's. Yeah, that's all right. It's delicious. Very good. It's got a real bite to it. That cask strength is no joke. I think it's like 116 proof or something like that. So it's, I mean, it hits you right on the nose. Obviously, it's hitting me. No, it's good. You were at a 9.2. I'm at a 9.3.
Nice. I mean, appreciate you coming in close on the rating there. So
I've been trying to be more generous to you recently.
Appreciate it. Well, back to the podcast. So tell us, say we have listeners, because obviously you've been successful in a lot of different fields, but social media is one. I think a lot of businesses out there think, you know, what I need to do to grow my social media following, what I need to do to get more exposure. What would you tell them, Steve? I guess best ways to do that.
The best thing I'd say is you have to deliver value to your audience. So many people want to just like put ads out on their social media, and like that delivers zero value to your audience. The way that I try to do it, and we don't do as good as we should do as busy as we are, but one of the best things that we do is a thing called If Tees Could Talk. I believe that the best thing as a brand that you can do is tell a story, which is exactly what y'all are doing here. You're telling stories. People love storytelling. You have to deliver value. I mean, this podcast, for example, y'all deliver value every single week to your audience. That's why people listen to it. And I think as long as you're delivering value and not just delivering ads, you'll be successful. So going back to what I was saying, If Tees Could Talk, is it's our storytelling aspect of our brand. And we print for hundreds of organizations, probably thousands. And every t-shirt we print tells a story. And our goal is to help tell those stories. You know, we've printed for people who fought breast cancer. We've printed for people who've, you know, suicide awareness. We've printed for churches going on mission trips. And I think people underestimate the power of storytelling and telling your customers stories, you know, with their permission, because it's great. You know, you're promoting their brand. It's promoting your brand. And again, that's something that my company, we really love doing. And that's something I want to do a lot more of. But the first one we did, the first series of If Tees Could Talk we did, was one of my good buddies. His name's Jerry. He founded Convoy Gaming, which is a esports gaming, one of the first startups in the Jackson Metro. And they've won tons of competitions, but telling their story, you know. So I think that's the main thing I'd say, is if you're a business looking to grow your social media presence, tell a story, deliver value to your audience, and don't get caught up in delivering ads.
No, and I think that's key. One thing you touched on, that, you know, providing value, you know, to people. They, you know, instead of everything you put out on social media, hey, come buy from me. You know, this is why you should buy from me. Like, why not provide them with value? And that's going to lead them to, you know, your website, your company or whatever to buy your products.
So. I saw something one time from an advertiser on LinkedIn, and they were saying it's like a 10 to 1 ratio or something. So you have to deliver value 10 different times before you can have one ask. And that one ask might reach 10% of your audience. And of that 10%, maybe 0.5% actually like, oh yeah, I should buy that thing from that person or something like that. But the more value you deliver, like you just said, the more your audience grows. So then that 0.5% becomes a lot more people over time, right?
Yeah.
So that's the whole compounding effect there. Sure. But I mean, it's like a 10 to 1 ratio. It's a lot. Well,
and we say that, you know, social media, you know, provide value, but that's life in general. Like whatever you're doing,
business,
you've got to provide value to people. You know, you can't be constantly the taker. Like I can't, you know, if you go into a room and you're the one that's taking all the time, then eventually people are going to say, okay, like this guy's just here to get something from us. And so I think whatever you're doing in life, you know, are you providing value in the space that you're in, whatever you're doing, if you want to be successful, you know, how can I provide value here? So
for sure. So what does the future look like for Tyler specifically? Are you going to use your law degree and then go hone in on T. Whites? Or are you going to stay a lawyer? Do you ever sell T. Whites? Do you know?
Yeah. Again, I think that the main thing for me is I literally am just taking life day by day. What I do know right now is that I'll get married in April and I'll graduate in May and I'll start working September at a firm.
There you go.
You know, that's what I do know right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think really we just take it day by day. Right now, my long-term plan is definitely to go be a lawyer and, you know, again, soak up as much knowledge in the transactional space as I possibly can. And yeah, would I consider selling T. Whites one day? 100%. You know, I'm going to be a M&A attorney. How much cooler would it be than
having... you can do your own deal, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I think the main things, I'm really just taking it day by day and, you know, continuing every day to see how can we improve this, you know, whether it's the website, whether it's processes, whether it's systems, whether it's our sales team. Whatever it is, like, how can we improve every single day? And, you know, if we sell one day, if we shut down one day, whatever, like, that's all in the future. I can't control that, but I can control today. And I just focus every day on making today our company better.
There you go. So what do you wish you could have told young Tyler when he was starting all this at 18 and he was just...
Yeah, now that you're old.
Yeah.
So old. Looking back.
Younger Tyler, we'll put it that way.
You know, just... I think the main thing is I'd tell myself, and I think I kind of stuck to it to a degree, is don't be afraid to fail. So many people are so afraid to fail. They won't take that risk. They won't take the chance. You know, a lot of people go buy scratch offs. They go to the casinos. Like at the end of the day, I want to bet on myself. If I'm going to bet on anything, like I'd put my money on me way more than I'd bet on the stock market or anything else. Like take a risk on yourself, believe in yourself, bet on yourself, take that risk, you know, take educated risks, do your research, know what you're doing, but believe in yourself and bet on yourself. That's what I tell myself.
Yeah. And I like it. I like how you simplify life down to, you know, I take it day by day, like what's in front of me, do the best that I can do today. And like, I think that's so key to being successful. You know, a lot of times I see it, we get caught up in everything we have to do. And, you know, when you're caught up in all the things that you have to do, then you halfway do everything that's in front of you. Whether if you take the approach, hey, I'm going to do what I'm doing in front of me the best I can do. You know, life tends to, and business tends to work out a lot better that way.
So. Yeah. And, you know, not being afraid to fail. Let's go back to that for just a second, because that is, in my opinion, I feel like that's the number one crippling factor for entrepreneurs, just in general, for anybody in life, is being afraid to fail. Myself included, I struggle with that too. And I'm trying to work through how to overcome that in different areas of my life, right? But what did it look like for you to overcome that? Because the fear never goes away. Yeah. There's always, well, what if this doesn't work? What if? So what do you tell yourself when those situations arise and you're like, Tyler, we got this? You know, what do you say?
I think I just tell myself, you know, like, you're never going to be equipped enough. You're never going to be good enough. You're never going to be the perfect whatever. But like, you know, it's just like at the Christian faith, like it doesn't matter. Like God chose you. And that's what I believe. It's like, you don't have to wait until you're the best at this to do it. You don't have to wait until you're equipped to do it. Like, no, go and do it. Like, I think it's kind of like I was saying with mission work, like God may not have chosen you to go and be a preacher, but like, you have an opportunity, go and do it. Don't wait until you're ready. Don't wait until you're, you know, you've checked all the boxes, you have all the accolades, you have all the degrees. Like, I just don't think you'll ever completely be ready. Just go and do it.
Yeah. I mean, you're never going to reach the point that you feel like you're an expert or ready on anything. It does take the motivation to say, hey, you know, at some point I got to put my boots on and go do it. Yeah. And that's, you know, I mean, to be successful in life, that's, you've got to take that leap. So
yeah, there's no getting around that one.
And it may not always work. And that's the hard part too. Is like with me, Stay Anchored Apparel was not like some smashing success, but you also have to be willing to take it, like I said, day by day, and be willing to pivot.
Right.
You know, if there's a better path forward, you have to be willing to change that every single day and not just be stuck on one thing. If it doesn't work, be willing to change.
Right. And, you know, I mean, like you said, you're going to have failures in life. So, you know, the way you have to look at it is say, okay, I failed at this, but that means I'm that much closer to having a win. Yep. So, you know, with the failures, if you have the failures, the wins are going to come too. And you just got to know that, hey, like, these things are going to happen, and, you know, move on. Like you said, take, you know, educated, you know, calculated risk, but at the same time, there's going to be risk involved, which means there's going to be failure involved.
And learn from the failures. Right. Like, failure's not always a bad thing. What you learn from those failures, what I've learned from my past failures, have taught me so much more that's helped me succeed in my other endeavors.
Right. Well, great. Well, give us your thoughts on the bourbon.
It was great. I thought it was good. As you can see, my glass is empty. So I think mine was the first one down. So
you want to give us a number?
1 to 10.
So we have a 9.3 and 9.4. I'll say 9.5.
9.5.
There we go.
We will go with a 9.4 for, what's the name of it again, Dakota?
Crittenden's.
I'm not even going to try to say that. I'm not even going to try to say that. But great bourbon name, you know, it's hard for me to pronounce, but probably not for most of America. So everybody else is probably can handle that. But great bourbon. Appreciate you coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
For our listeners, if they want to get t-shirts or some type of apparel or anything.
Or if they need a lawyer for a business deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do they contact you? Best way for them to get in touch with you?
So all of my social media is at Tyler White MS. So feel free to hit me up on social media. And then you can go to our website. If you need any t-shirts, apparel, promotional items, it's just twhites.com. That's TEEWHITES.com. And yeah, we also, like I said, have the Collegiate Apparel now as well, which is just shop.twhites.com. So Ole Miss fans, State fans, even Southern Miss. When we were at Mistletoe this past week, the Southern Miss fans kept thanking us for carrying Southern in there. So
they're a proud bunch.
That's
right. They are. Yeah, they are. Yeah. Eagles to the top.
Well, I'll have to say this has been one of the most interesting episodes.
I still feel like half the stuff he said was made up. I'm going to take it as fact.
A lot of stuff has happened in his 25 years of life, but appreciate you coming on. For all our listeners, if you would, go follow us on social media. And please, like, I know we say this every week and you don't listen, but please go give us a rating on however you stream this. And we'll see you next week. Hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
If you have any feedback or would like to be featured, reach out to us at bourbonandbusinesspodcast@gmail.com.
Or find us on Instagram at bourbonandbusinesspodcast.
Thanks again for listening.
Follow us for more content and info on the next episode.